We're talking about how do I deal with parents. Now, I'm quite sure that none of you have ever had a challenge dealing with your parents. I'm a parent, I've never had a problem dealing with myself. And I'm sure my kids, Ashley, Keegan, and Drew, have never had a challenge dealing with me because I'm one of the perfect ones. We're a very small breed. So I know some of you probably think that your parents are aliens. And I'm not talking about the nice, cuddly kind of aliens from Toy Story or from Monsters vs. Aliens. I'm talking about the really scary type of alien from Sims Alien, if there's such a thing. Or just freaky weird, dressing up as some of you know what they're trying to look like, Naruto. I won't say any more. Some of you, even my daughter, might actually think that I am actually an alien. What? Oh, shucks. That looks a bit weird, okay? And I know some of you want to say this morning, I am selling my parents any offers. Or at very least, I want to swap places with my parents because I think I can do a much better job than what my parents have done, right? Now, I want you to turn to the person next to you. Thank you so much, Queen. And I want you to share with them, if you could change one thing about your parents, just one, because we don't have the whole day, what would that be if you could change one thing? Okay, there you go. Okay. Now, a couple of weeks ago, in fact, months, maybe years ago, we did a survey at Youth, and we asked questions about issues that you guys are dealing with. I think we're talking 2 years ago now. Some of you might have been around. You might even know what series that logo was used for. But this is what we heard you guys saying. My parents fight a lot. I fight with my siblings, or maybe I should say you fight, the siblings fight with you. Or we are facing tough times. My parents don't accept me. My parents are just like unrealistic. They expect me to get like A in biology. Meantime, I'm getting like a Z. Or maybe even deep, my parent left me, or I didn't even ever know my parents, or and maybe today we want you to come in with the idea of like those people that are looking after you. So it might be technically a guardian, caregiver, or something. Okay? And so just to show you that parenting and challenges has been around a while, I want to show you this little clip from my boy Michael Jackson. Okay, here we go. It's a start to his black and white video. So why are parents so hard to deal with? After all, as Kondwani contemplates his future, it's going to be so romantic and idyllic. He's going to find this girl of his dreams. They're going to fall in love. They're going to get married on a Saturday, and we're all going to be there. And then a month later on the honeymoon, they're going to have their first fight. And then before you know it, she's pregnant, and then everything's fine for a little while. Because it's like, oh, it brings you together. It's that cute little thing. But before you know it, they're arguing about the colors to paint, and the poor kids are hiding away from them. Then before you know it, they're driving in their car, and the kids are fighting in the back of the car, and they're like, don't make me come back there. You don't want me to come back there. You know what I mean? I don't know what parents are going to do when they come back there, but they're going to do something really bad. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to drive and come back. I'm not sure how it goes. And let's face it, it's really cute when in cartoons families fight. It's super, super cute when siblings fight in cartoons. But it's not so great when it happens in real life. Am I right? When it becomes man versus wife, I don't know who's getting the upper hand there, or parent versus kid. And poor Bart is being strangled. I showed this video as part of the I'm Not Okay series, but it was Christina talking about something really deep in real life.
The title of the song is called I'm Okay, but really, I'm not. And it's a very real song.
Once upon a time, there was a girl.
It was a song about my father and my past in my childhood.
She had to learn.
But the vocal that you're actually going to hear on the record, I had a really hard time getting through. I was crying through it.
It hurt me to see the pain cross my mother's face. Every time my father's fist put her in her place.
I got really, really sad. It's kind of self-explanatory. The bruises fade, you know, your emotional wounds do not go away.
So her dad used to beat her mom, and she would watch this as a young kid. Can you imagine growing up with that? And maybe it's an experience that not only her has been with. So what causes the war at home? I mean, what is it that takes Khundwani and this romantic notion, and it takes it sometimes into a place that's not like it? Well, I want to mention a couple things before we look at how do we deal with our parents. There are limited resources. Now, on Friday night, on the stage was one of the, how many teams were there on Friday night? Four teams? And they were going to share a cake. Did you see that cake that they shared? But it was one cake. If everyone had won and we had all shared that cake, that wouldn't have been great, would it? I mean, you wouldn't have got more than that. In a home, so often we deal with limited resource. This is what we've got. And unless we're all getting second and third jobs, we need to share that round. So when demands come on the resource, often we begin to struggle and wrestle over it. Problem is a lack of resource. There's also personality differences. Have you ever clashed with someone in your class or in the sports arena or a friend at some point? Why? Because we're different. We're wired differently. Our very personality, some of us are people-orientated, some of us are task-orientated, some of us are internal, others are external in terms of how we energize. Some of us need to be alone to restore. Some of you need to be with people to restore. Now, when you live together and those clash, it can be really difficult. Then there's unmet expectations. This is maybe one of the biggest for us growing up, because expectations are there, but, you know, I expect that my parents are going to give me everything I ask for and want, because the Joneses get that down the road. And when that doesn't happen, I get frustrated or angry, either with the kid or the kid with me. And again, it's maybe because that cake is only so big to go around. Maybe it's because they're different values. You know, maybe one person values work and getting things done, and the other person just values hanging out with people. One person values a clean room, another person values a pig star. Yeah, if you're a pig, that's cool. It's a star, it's a place to live, and that's my place. You know, I'm very critical of my wife and her space, but just let her go and clean up my space and put my stuff away. I get a little bit upset with that. Like, you touch my place, you know? So often as parents, we bounce into the kids' room and clean it all up. And they're like, hey, where you put all my stuff, man? That's not cool. Different values, different challenges. And so how do we actually deal with parents? Now I want to share a couple things. And some of these are going to be easy to hear, and some are going to be tougher to hear. Here's what you need to know, firstly, that God has placed you in your family. And there's not many options to divorce your family, your parents. You know what I mean? To actually trade them in and to move. God sets, he has an interesting psalm, Psalm 68. He sets the lonely in families. In fact, Acts chapter 16 says that God has appointed people where to live. So it's not random. It's not just like molecules colliding and suddenly you came about. It's quite specific. And I think it's just possible that God has done something a lot deeper than what we imagine. There's this book out by Gary Thomas called Sacred Marriage. Have a look at that question at the top. What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? Oh my gosh. That's not what I thought marriage was about. Imagine if that word was, what if God designed family more to make us holy than to make us happy? God is using every environment we find ourselves in to make us into better people. You'll see here later from Christina in another clip that she shared that there's some positive results even from a horrendous situation. So what if God designed your place you find yourself in right now to make you holy more than happy? Because ultimately, what's God more concerned about? Can I throw it at you? What is he more concerned about in the end? Just short-term happiness? Because if so, then he would just shower you and the raindrops would be gummy sweets. There wouldn't be rain. Because it's short-term, that's what I want. You know what I mean? There would just be like airtime downloads the whole time. But if God is more concerned about who I am or what I'm becoming, it's going to be different. So remember that God has placed you where you are. It's not an accident, and hopefully there's more help this morning, because hang on, does God really know where he placed me? Did he make a mistake? What was he thinking? I'd like to swap and be God for a day if that's possible. And you saw how horribly that went wrong when Bruce Almighty did that. Secondly, I want to challenge you that family is forever. Some of us feel that, well, basically I'll be out of the house at some point soon. You know, I'll leave. I mean, I'm still dealing with family issues with my mom and dad. Not a week goes by before I have to deal and intervene with something that's going on in Durban where my sisters live and my parents live and then an old age home and they're frail and there's all sorts of issues and looks like mom is checking out of this world in not too long a time. And I'm still a family person. This year I've rushed off to Durban on like 3 or 4 occasions to intervene in crises that they were having. And so even though I'm 50, I'm still dealing with parents. Parents, I'm going to kind of stay with you for a while. This might be the hardest, but there's an unfortunate or fortunate reference in the Bible about honoring parents. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the Ten Commandments, kind of hiding away, just before you feel like killing and doing adultery and stealing, lying, coveting, there's that little phrase about honoring parents. Isn't it funny that straight after that, the guy says, and don't kill. Anyone ever felt like killing parents? You don't always be like, oh, kill you. Don't make me come forward there. You know, don't make me get into the front seat because I'm going to do some killing. Oh, it's a whipping today. I don't know if that's why, maybe not. But this is what I read this week in Ephesians 6, that we are to honor our father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Interesting. If I honor my mom and dad, God, are you saying that it'll be well with me and I'm going to live long? Wow. Maybe that's why James Dean died when he was young, a young rebellious teenager. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just asking the question. What if it's possible that honoring our parents is the gateway to a blessed life? You ever see Star Trek? Stargate, shall I say? Maybe that's the portal that gets you into a life that's blessed and rewarded and rewarding because I orientate myself towards the people that God has placed over me. I told you some of this was going to be easy to receive and others not so. I need you to understand, fourthly this morning, that families are not perfect. And if you've seen an episode of The War at Home, you know that that family is not perfect. In a sick way, I think it's my favorite show of all time because it's so honest and real and vulnerable. And you'll see a situation, then they cut away. Have you seen it? Then the individual involved in that little section will speak like to a white screen. And they talk their mind about what's really going on there. And I think sometimes we need to do that. We need to push pause and step away and say, hey, what's really going on? So we're going to give you remote controls this week that will stop and pause time. So whenever there's an issue with family, you just pause it, and then you can walk around all the role players, poke them and reposition them, or you can rewind as well, and you can No, that's called Click. I think that movie went horribly wrong, didn't it? That didn't work out really well. I want you to know that there is no such thing, even though there's a TV sitcom called The Perfect Family, there is no such thing. Her married son is having an affair with a beauty therapist. Her daughter Shannon is lesbian and pregnant, about to get married to a girlfriend. And it's a funny and heartfelt exploration of the importance of family. I'm reading that from the website. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that's the perfect family. In fact, it probably boils down to the fact that we're individuals. And as she says, I'm not perfect. What you see is what you get. You either like me for who I am or you can remove yourself from my life. Some of you might need to post that this week. So these pictures will be on the stated. I am not, say it with me, I am not perfect. Now, if Warren was here, even he would have to say, I am not perfect. Mr. Awesomeness, okay? Because none of us are perfect. And when we bump into each other, we know that we are not perfect. Also want to say today that you need to know that conflict will happen. We have this interesting notion that it's going to be amazing. You know, if you've ever watched Amazing Race or Survivor, you know that it starts out great, right? Everyone's on a boat together, go to an island destination holiday. Before you know it, everyone's got knives in their back. Everyone's like betraying themselves. Maybe it's because they're all trying to win a million. I actually saw this week, and it said, marriage is like a deck of cards, to keep our theme going. In the beginning, all you need is two hearts and a diamond. In some time, you wish you had a club and a spade. That is gross, right? I can happily say amen. Okay, so, I mean, what the heck? Where do we get into the situation where there's yelling? But no one yells in front of the minister because you've got a suit on, she's got a white dress on, someone's even carrying half a dress for her. You know, she's got these flowers, she's going to throw them soon at someone, at the next person to get married or something. But before you know it, someone like you is caught in the middle and it's not so easy. Again, why do we think that we can put two people together for the rest of their lives, maybe add two more, three more into that mix, and think there will never be a challenge? Because we are human beings and we're not perfect. And here's the challenge about conflict, that we need to look for the positive in conflict. I think we spend most of our lives trying to make sure conflict never happens. But I don't think you do well and survive well in a situation where there is never conflict. Guys used to ship fish from Africa to sort of exotic destinations around the world. But they found that by the time they got there on the boats, these like tropical fish for fish tanks, like the trauma fish from Lake Malawi and stuff, they found that most of them would die. Someone had a brainwave. He got a little freshwater shark and stuck it in that tank with these fish. And amazingly, by the time the fish got to the destination, they were all alive. Because all you needed was that da-da-da-da. I think they played music, like Jaws music as well. And what happened was that little bit of tension and conflict that was created kept everyone alive, kept everyone on their toes. I'm sure a few got eaten as well. And so here's the challenge. I hope I can use that image. But when we experience different differences in each other, and when we see things from different perspectives, we are able to move into love, life, relationships at a much deeper level. If we're left to just ourselves, we're not going to move to a deeper level. It's in that moment when we find a way to bridge the gap. We tried another route in this country, didn't we? We tried this idea that we were all going to live in different parts of South Africa and we're all going to be happy and get along. You know, let's let all the British guys live in KwaZulu-Natal. Let's let all the rugby players live in Gauteng. And let's send everyone else out into their own areas. And we divided up every single town even. I mean, you still can't come to a town in South Africa and not see signs that this was artificially created. Am I right? Drive on the highway. Every single town has its little towns alongside the towns. And in the town, there's different areas. And we're still working to undo what all those years did. But when we find each other, when we say, you know what, walls to keep us apart will not work. That's why what's happening in Israel has to change at some point in Palestine. There has to be a different way. Hostility has to be put aside. We need to come together, sit down, and learn to discover each other. And when we do, we find, wow, hey, getting to know you is awesome. I thought you were the big bad wolf. Well, I thought you were Cinderella or something. No, it's awesome. Let me take you back to that clip. And in one time when she sang that song, this is what she had to say about it.
It's about my childhood. I've spoken very openly about growing up in a household where there was a lot of abuse and there was a lot of domestic violence, and you know, seeing what my mom went through, what I went through as a child, you know, not feeling like I had a safe place to go home to. It's called I'm Okay, but there are still many, many scars that I still battle with on an everyday basis, that I still try to struggle, that I'm still struggling with. So it's a constant healing process for me, but I'm so thankful for it, because through every hardship like this, there's such a light at the end of the tunnel, and for me, it has just made me that much more of a stronger person. I'm so much stronger because of it.
I wouldn't have expected her to say that. I would have expected her to say something like, you know what, that was just the worst possible thing that could ever happen to me. And the challenge, that last point, is if you need, then get help. If you are finding you're slipping into the next commandment and you're about to violate it, if things are really too much for you to handle, then you need to say, you know what, I need help. And I think we've said this along on each of these issues. There's some things we can deal with, and there's some things that are really tough to deal with. And maybe even this morning, before I say one or two more words addressed at parents, for those of you who are parents here, and you can take this home to your parents, you have to check this out. I want to say a prayer now that will enable you and empower you to have a fresh perspective at what you're going through, or what you might going through, what you might go through in a while. So let's pray. Father, we bring our situations to you. We bring our lives before you. We bring our home situations before you. And Lord, maybe right now some of us are saying, Lord, it's like paradise. Lord, you have designed an incredible place. And Lord, it's awesome. And Lord, for that, we just want to stop and say, wow, God, we give you all the glory and it's awesome. For some of us, Lord, we have those moments of awesomeness and times of real struggle. Maybe when the financial pressures are on, or maybe when parents travel, or maybe when a parent drinks. Lord, something happens and changes the dynamic, and for a season it's really gross. And we want to pray, Lord God, that you would intervene in that situation, and that you would come by your Spirit and manifest yourself. You would give us a new perspective on what's happening in those moments, how to be safe, how to be part of the change, and how to deal with things, Lord God, that are shaping us and making us into who you want us to be. And Lord, where situations are truly dire, we pray right now that you would defeat the work of the evil one, and that you would bring about, Lord God, a freshness and a love and a lightness in those relationships that we find ourselves in. We pray, Lord God, that our families would walk in health and wholeness, and that, Lord, there would be prosperity in every one of the homes, so that, Lord, resources can be shared and shared well. We pray this in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you, because I'm going to say a quick word aimed at parents. This is what, as parents, we're trying to do or should be doing. We are responsible to God for parenting our kids. It's a big step. I mean, have kids, but know that you're responsible before God. We watched that movie that some of you, Keenan and others, Pepsi fans, have seen, Courageous. We got to watch it last night. And it makes you kind of like, almost fearful about your relationship with your kids, because you realize it's a sacred trust that you've been given. So it's a huge responsibility. Actually, as parents, if we were honest, we'd say, you know what? We actually want what is best for each of our kids. It doesn't always come across like that. If I can speak on behalf of parents today, sometimes it feels more like, hey, we're just selfish, or we're just thinking about ourselves. But we actually do in our hearts want what is best for our kids, or we should. You might want to nudge one of your parents to one of these pages. As parents, we will always love our kids and be their parents, no matter what. It doesn't matter what you do and become. That will never change the relationship we have. And I pray there would never be a situation in which there's ever any gulf that comes in between you and your parents. One of the biggest challenges that we have as parents is that we're raising adults and we're not just raising kids. A lot of what parents do is for the forethought of, you know what, one day you'll be running this home or a home like this, or, hey, we want to put something into you. And so we're raising adults, not just kids. And we do love our kids even when we have to discipline them. I'm hoping parents don't use that and what she and he's holding, Fiona and Shrek. But even when you need to say, you know what, I'm going to do something like deprive you of something. It's for your good. It's for so you can learn something. Unless the guy's psycho or she's psycho needs to go to jail. And then what we're doing is carefully managing our limited resource, the peas and the ogre broth that's been shared out there. I want to share one more thing, and you might need to see this on the page to go back to it. But here are some great house rules that I would pray that as families we could have. That we would say, here are the rules around our home. We love Jesus. We encourage siblings. And we share in their joy. It's easier said than done, I think. We always tell the truth. I don't like that word always, because it's like so always, isn't it? We obey our parents. We use kind words. Ooh, don't you know how words can be really cutting and ow sometimes? I mean, not that you've ever used them, I'm sure. Have fun. Sing silly songs, maybe, or dance crazy. Interesting moment in that movie last night where that young girl asked the dad to dance, and he didn't. And he never got the chance to dance with her because she died soon after that. Share everything except bad ideas. Ask first. Be a giver. I know Debbie grew up in a home where they never, ever had anything in the house without asking first. We're kind of like, we had more of like a dog-eat-dog thing. We just like, if there's something in the fridge, eat it before it's gone. And she has put into our kids, I think, this thing of, well, you ask before you do. It's like, oh, that's an interesting, novel idea. Share everything except bad ideas. Say what you're sorry for. Isn't that hard sometimes to say sorry? I don't know why it's hard to say sorry, but it's hard. Forgiveness is mandatory. If someone says, we have a rule in our home, if someone has said sorry, you have to actually say, it's cool, I forgive you. It's like not allowed to say, no, I'm just going to make you suffer a bit more. I'm not giving you any forgiveness at this point. Hands are for hugging, not hitting. That will cut down what hands are used for. But no fussing, no whining, no bad attitudes, except Mondays. Oh, and Monday, including Mondays. Never stay angry. And finally, be considerate, respectful, grateful. I don't know about you, but I've got something to work on this week, okay? If you need to go back to this, it'll be up on the group this afternoon. And next week, we're going to be privileged to have Pastor Gloria sharing with us about relational situations. Not just guy, girl, touching on that, but how do I deal when relationships are really difficult and don't work well? Okay, let's pray. God, we want to thank you. Thank you that you know us, you know our situation, you know where we're at, you know where we want, you want us to be. And Lord, we do really pray that through the series, as we've looked at some really tough issues in our lives, that you would have shone a light on, you would have given us hope and just the way ahead. And we pray, Lord, that even having talked this morning open and honestly about parenting and how to deal with our parents, that we would be better as a result of what we've experienced this morning. We pray that you'd bring us back together next week in Jesus' name. Amen.